I've seen homes that are, you know, million-dollar modular homes, and the efficiencies of it and the product coming along, and it just works for some people.
This is The Art of Construction with your host, Devin Tilley, and co-host, Kevin Keith. Devin has built a multi-seven-figure business in the construction industry, selling windows, doors, and hardware over the past 13 years. Devin's passion for helping those around him led him to create the Art of Construction informational platform, a part of which is a fireside chat podcast with industry professionals all focused on how they apply art in their business and construction projects. Grown to an audience of over 100,000, Devin shares his strategies for what he has accomplished and creates insightful conversations with industry leaders. This is The Art of Construction, featuring your host, Devin Tilley, and co-host, Kevin Keith.
All right, Kevin, we're going to dive in and have a fireside chat with Audrey Grubesic, who is the modular unicorn putting together the future of modular to help talk to us about, honestly, when I was on the fence of doing this show because I have a pretty negative perception of seeing two pieces of a modular running down a factory and then going into a modular home park. So I'm anxious to see if there's something energetic or something with maybe technology. Crusty Contractor might have to change a few things.
Well, and I think her company, Modular SureSight, will be able to give us a little bit of an outlook on some of the changes that are out there. So,
all right, speed round. Here we go. Audrey, lock and load. What's your favorite beverage?
Actually, lately I've been drinking a lot of green juice, making juice, and trying to get back on the health kick.
There you go. We probably all need a little more of that. I should probably drink the green juice as I've been flying one conference and podcast to another. So tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
I am originally from Chicago, but I have to say I love the state of Colorado. I've been here for about 19 years, and I would have to say Crested Butte. It's one of my favorite places to hike and ski.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Tell us one story about an experience from Crested Butte.
Typically, we are a ski family, so we go up there every other year just about. We were there actually just in December, and we were skiing, had a great time. We're there for a week and literally left the next day to, I think they had 4 feet of snow. So we were able to, after several hours of digging out our car and moving forward, we finally got out of there. But just a lot of family time, fun time. I have two children, and my husband and I value being together as a family because we're all running on different schedules all the time. So
very cool.
It's just a connector.
And your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction arena?
I have been big into meditation the last couple of weeks, so I'm kind of training myself into that platform, and I do a lot of hiking, a lot of exercise. So the other thing, again, going back to skiing, I love it. Just love being here.
Cool. One of our goals this year is for the Silverton. Have you heard of the hiking and skiing down in Silverton? That's on the bucket list for my wife and I this
Very
next
nice.
Ski season. So I relate.
It's like being on vacation all the time here, isn't it?
There you go.
Yeah.
Shh.
I know.
Yeah, don't tell anybody.
Yeah, this is global and timeless.
No one's supposed to hear that.
We got to know a little bit about Audrey Grubesic. Now we want to go in and tell us about what you're doing that I'm totally intrigued about. To tee this up right out of college it was a short weeks, and I knew it wasn't for me, that there was a large manufacturer of modular homes that they recruited me, and right out of college, I didn't have a clue and they had this great executive sales pitch, and they sent me to this plant, and I saw just two pieces going down a line and going out, and they were all the same, and it was the full-on, here's the three sheets, and they shove it down your throat, and that's what you're going to sell, and I'm like, this is not for me.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about what you're doing to fix the negative connotation with modular homes in the industry.
So modular homes, it's really fascinating because years ago in the 50s, they were very, very popular. They weren't too entertaining. The finishes on the interior and exterior weren't as fancy, but it was affordable living. So many people had an option of being able to live somewhere. Being in Denver and the influx of people that are coming in, I think it's like 7,000 every month, which is outstanding. Coming from the background of being with a luxury home builder, it's just more and more difficult just with land and space and opportunity to be in that type of a dynamic of being able to have something affordable. I have lots of friends that are in their 20s, 30s, and 40s that still aren't able to buy their first home, even in Denver, because the average price is about $500,000. In January, we had a client that came to us, and at that time, he had land, and it was passed on from generation to generation. He was very frustrated because he went to see lots of architects, he went to see lots of different builders, and they just couldn't come to some type of solution within his budget. So we started looking into modular. Denver and the Colorado market has, I would say, maybe about 12 different dealers or builders of modular homes, and they have completely changed. It's not just the box that you see. The platform comes from that type of structure, but they're doing custom designs now. I've seen homes that are, you know, million-dollar modular homes, and the efficiencies of it and the product coming along in a couple of months of planning time is just, it just works for some people.
Awesome. And as we're always talking about getting it right on paper, and we're trying to talk with you contractors and architects how to grow your business, you better pay attention to this kind of stuff. As we talk about the crusty contractor on certain shows to say either too construction, I've always done it this way, or too corporate, what's your lowest price? These are the things with technology running down the middle that it changes things to where an architect now can design it, put all the technology together, and then it's done in a factory versus trying to get trades on the job site and let's buy them a case of beer so that they show up. Mm-hmm. We better re-energize and re-look at the construction field when you start talking about things like this. So what I really want to have the listening audience, or what are some aha moments that really made you, I'm going for this because the technology is there to say custom modular? Give us a couple stories of things you've seen and how those million-dollar custom modulars came together.
Well, it's really fascinating because once you start researching the industry, all the builders all know each other. So for me, it was really fascinating to the point of actually going out and meeting all these different dealers that know each other, and they're super friendly.
These are the people making the modular
homes.
These
are the builders. So these are the ones where people would go in, they would talk to the builder, they would actually put their home together, they would find their land, they would actually pick out the floor plan that best fits their needs and their budget. The builder is actually the one that coordinates all the selections, the interior, exterior. They put together the whole package. They actually put together the entire permit process, all of the different things that help build that home, and then they send all of that to the factory.
Okay.
So the factory is the one that takes it over. But in regard to the architect thing, it's very interesting because modular is getting more technically advanced, and they're starting to see that they have to start working with architects. Architects are now designing these new plans to fit this type of role. There is a guy that has a modular company online. He's actually fascinating. It's called Express Modular. Ken has developed this amazing company. He's registered in 47 states, and what he's doing now is working with a very large architect company, and he is offering plans and design of all different shapes and sizes. So he's kind of figured out how to collaborate this technology together. Great Western Homes in Saldalia, they're actually in Poncha Springs on the Western Slope. They're another one, fascinating company. They are designing homes in 8-10 different pieces for clients, and people are coming in from Texas, they're coming in from California, and they're designing these homes that aren't the ones that you've seen in the 1950s. You could go online and check out their website. You would be amazed at how far the technology and the architecture and the system build of how these are put together. It's dynamic. It's transcending.
So let me understand this right. You don't work for or represent one modular company. You're more of the modular unicorn, if you will.
I think you're right. So it's interesting. So Modular SureSite, my company, my startup company, is actually servicing builders. I service all the different types of industry leaders that are here in Colorado that need site work. The reason for that is because I have seen firsthand different site placements and worked with a lot of luxury custom home builders, and really the foundation, the excavation, the landscape guys, you know, those really are the fosters of how well a house is built, and and taking care of those people and actually really studying that art of being able to move dirt. It doesn't sound very exciting, I understand, but there is a finesse to it. You talk to rental companies or you talk to crane companies, or you talk to large movement companies, and there is a finesse to it. There is a way to take care of people. And the nice thing about Modular SureSite is we're in and out in a couple of weeks. It's not a 18-month process. It's a very quick, short, dynamic system. And we use BuilderTrend for our scheduling. We try to use technology to really help our company move to the forefront and start to work with subcontracts and develop those relationships and keep them close to us as a family so that we can go from project to project.
Awesome. So you mentioned Express Modular is 48 states. So they're kind of the...
They're the technology umbrella. Driven. I've never seen anything like this company. It's
and
amazing.
And then Great Western Homes is more kind of a dealer that's executing.
So they're
are they partnered with Express Modular?
They are not. These are all individual companies. You have Accolade Homes of Calhan. You have Lescott Homes. You have North Star Homes. You have Clayton Homes. You have Factory Modular Homes. All of these different builders are all manufacturer companies that can help deliver a home for you. And the typical time from start to finish, even including the site work, you're looking at anywhere from 5 to 7 months once you own your lot.
Awesome. So when we say the word builders, us that are crusty contractor, if I'm putting that hat on, I'm like, when I think of builders, you think of the guy that's cracking the whip and bringing all the subs and all the trades together on the job site and ordering the sticks to build the wall and hiring the framers and all those things. When I think of the builder, because you know what you know, and you go in that swim lane. So when you're saying the builder, you're talking about the all coming together, and then it's a different project manager, if you will,
sure,
to take the finesse of moving the dirt, because mm-hmm. that's really what it comes down to, is building that foundation is really what the site needs to be done, but also working with the design and the architect to understand where the mountain views and the sun and all those things, where the driveway and where the power is going to come in. Those are really what become really important, because now the structure is all done in a digital format. Tell me about digital formatting as far as people you've worked with. When we say begin with the end in mind, homeowners have a hard time understanding 2D plans that then turn around into their real 3D. I think 3D modeling is a big deal that would come into this whole mindset of seeing it and then believing it and having it come together really fast.
I think that is such a fantastic point, and I think they're starting to drive in that direction. I haven't met any of them that are doing that as of right now. A lot of them are 2D. A lot of them are fixed plans. Some of them are, like I said, custom plans that they're actually working with an architect and putting those pieces together. So maybe that's the next step to where they can kind of progress their business and start moving into that area. I haven't seen any yet.
I was just going to ask a couple questions in terms of, you know, sizing and format. Are there overall square footage limitations, or what? Give us a little bit of an idea of what the size range of these completed homes look like.
You can have a 5,000-6,000 square foot home. There isn't a limitation. There's a limitation of how it can get shipped. So you have a 14 foot, you have a 16 foot width type of product that the length can be about 60 feet. Because each one of these are built and they're defined. So they're basically constructed in pieces, and then they're shipped on a truck to that location. So as far as the technology and the piece of putting together the architecture, I think it's still progressing. I think that there's an evolving action to what's happening with modular design. And modular is different than prefab, and it's different than mobile. Mobile is on a steel chassis, and that product is a HUD product, right? You see those in mobile home parks. Again, facilitates an affordable living product for some individuals. And then you have manufactured. Manufacturer is actually pieces. And a lot of production builders use manufactured product, where they actually have pieces of the home that are actually shipped and then put together. And modular actually is more or less almost like a smaller box material. It is a material that, or I would say product, that comes in a specific length and size, and then you put those pieces together on site.
Now, what happens with overall you know, with homes of this size, typically people are looking for volume spaces. Mm-hmm. So with the limitations on width and length and so on, how do you end up with a volume space in your home? How does that
work? Well, it's interesting because I've been talking to several investors and some design teams, and actually I have a group that I'm working with collectively right now, and we were talking about Denver infill lots. Average infill lot is about 6,250 square feet, not very large. The modular product can be 29 feet by 60 feet, which works pleasantly on a lot size that well with setbacks, and you can stack it. So now you have the efficiencies of going up and down. A lot of the home design that's happening right now is already in that size, but you're waiting 12 to 18 months to be able to create a product and get it done from start to finish with stick build. Modular, you're not. The other nice thing about modular is you can design a foundation with a basement. So then you have, again, additional space for you to actually have enjoyment and living in your home.
What are you seeing with the municipalities? Are you seeing any pushback from the inspectors and or plan check on the front end of getting these things approved?
It's interesting because I've talked to many banks, I've talked to many mortgage companies. They love this product. They love the product because it's a fixed cost. They know that they're going to finance something where they're going to have it delivered. It's going to be specially controlled. So modular homes are built in a factory that are, they have many control factors, lots of inspections. They are built with 20 to 30% more product because they have to be shipped. So as far as the permitting, it's the generally same thing that we work with in Denver. It's not the most efficient. It's a little bit more difficult. Outlying areas is easier because you do have to have a crane come in and actually place the home on the site. So there are those situations. But as far as like appraisals, it appraises the same as a stick build. So that's the other efficiency in this product, is that people don't understand it. They don't know that they can actually have a house built for 30% less, placed on their lot, and actually have it appraised for the same as the house that's next door to them with the same square footage.
Yeah, you get caught in a rut. I challenge people when they listen to this to go back and listen to show 43 with Regan Foster of Foster Designs. And he's a buddy of mine that I love having people like Audrey and Regan into Studio AOC, because we're cutting edge people and looking at things differently, mm-hmm. and peeling back those layers. And what Regan did on the podcast, we tell the story, him and his wife come in and they built a house out of 9 shipping containers. And it's coming up into Dwell magazine, and there's a lot of stuff coming from this. And there were so many strengths and weaknesses from that, but he just went for it. And now with these big expansion moving wall systems that we live with at the Mountain View Window and Door, those parameters now can become strengths if you use the headers and build these things the right way of the glass house, if you will, and structure and stack. That's what really was the aha moment for those shipping containers. But they're a shipping container that are hard. You have to, you know, to cut holes and weld. These now you can kind of look at those modulars or cubes, if you will,
right,
to build them however you want to. I think you'd get a lot out of listening to both of those shows if you're thinking about these type of, you know, value engineering, if you will.
Absolutely.
On how to do this. And I spent the last 2 days at the Glass Build Conference in Atlanta, and you know, my heart goes out to the people from Hurricane Irma. Is just seeing that and flying in that, and the how people rose up to the occasion. And a lot of the people there were people like me that I think even myself, I was asking the question, why am I walking and meeting with people from China that are making glass and doing it this different way and seeing extrusions of how they make it that? And the week before, I was in Dubuque, Iowa, visiting a manufacturing plant. And I say, contractors and architects, you learn so much by seeing how the parts and pieces come together. And why I'm bringing that up is that the best ideas are stolen. So take the time to go look and see how people are doing that in their box and create your own modular box. And that's what I think you're seeing, these aha moments, by saying, find the biggest pain and fix it. Here locally in Denver, a lot of people are just, they think they're handcuffed. And millennials, you're just not going to be able to buy a house in Denver. Mm-hmm. Well, if we think about it that way, then these 7,000 people a month that are moving here, it's going to have a culture shift. And that's not what we want for a city in Denver. So I commend you for thinking that way and talking about that. So tell me about how the glass would fit into your dream modular house.
There is a company called Living Homes on the West Coast in California, and there's called Blue Homes. You really have to look at these homes. They are phenomenal. They use a lot of modern and contemporary twists to their designs. They use a lot of glass. They figure out how to use efficiencies and use green materials. And I've talked to actually both of the owners of those companies and trying to move them over to the Colorado side. The problem is they are so backed up and so inundated with their product in California, their expansion isn't into this market yet. So I am actually researching that and trying to find out some of the efficiencies. That's why I was with Great Western Homes yesterday. They are figuring that solution out. So what they will do is the design, the modular, keep that pocket open or that area, and then the tradesman will come in and actually finish with the window.
Because I'm a window and door geek, and that's where a lot of this gets brought into this. And Kevin and I are sitting here thinking, okay, windows in a Cardinal Glass, who's the leader in insulating glass, they just put in their first 96-inch oven. And what that means is they can go up to certain, you know, they can push the envelope in that kind of, it was 54 square foot, now the next number that everyone's trying to get to is 80. And why that's so important is because once you tip the pendulum past that, the price now, special trucks, special this, special that, and the price just goes ballistic. Well, that's defeating the purpose of what we're all trying to talk about here. But you also have to have the right header and the right structure, as you said, these stack.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kevin, do headers ever sag? So that's the stuff. We are experts, and we live that, and we've learned by doing. And why I bring that up is to say, you learn that by bringing the right cooks to the kitchen when it comes to that part. So, Kevin, wouldn't it be beneficial for all of these companies to talk with a trusted advisor in the window segment to help design that together and collaborate? What do you say to that?
No, there's no question. And particularly the biggest illustration of that is when you look at the popularity of big doors, 20-foot openings.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking about a 6-foot opening or a 4-foot opening, you know, those are important, but they're not as dramatic. When you get to 20 feet, 12,
yeah,
16, 20 feet,
yeah,
the structural is really critical. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when we talk in detail, which we do, with architects on standard build projects, they're a little surprised at the small tolerance. So as an example, above these doors, the manufacturers don't want any more than about 3/16 of an inch of potential for movement on the downward slope, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And that you have to take into account the live load, which is people and snow, and then the dead load, which is all the building material weight that's on that. So it's a very important, integral part of what a structural engineer has to put together for any project, and particularly something like this. You can't just pop a 20-foot opening in there and everything's okay. It's got to be thought about.
And I think it is. And I think that's just the dynamic of what's feeding this environment is it's not just the design that you saw from a long time ago. And there are those designs, and they do meet the standards of some people, and they, again, help with affordable living, but they are growing and they're expanding, and there are structural engineers and there's people that are involved the same way that stick build is. It's just delivered in a different format. It's just faster. It's more efficient, and it can be in any size or shape. That's kind of the great thing about modular design now.
That's awesome.
Do you have experience when it comes to like steel versus wood and structure? Because when you're shipping this stuff, weight probably becomes a big deal. So I would think there's a lot of engineering going into the finished strength of the unit, but also the weight to get it to the site.
And you've got to also keep in mind, these are permitted products. I mean, they are regulated. They are looked at the structure. The plans are approved by the state. I just found out that a modular home weighs about 40,000 tons. And I had to find that out because I had to figure out how a crane was going to get it from one place to the other. So I think that they are designed. I am not sure. I can't answer that question. I would have to do a little bit more research on the design mechanism if wood is better than metal or steel. I think it's just a per project basis on what the client wants and what they can fulfill within their budget. Budget is always a leader.
Totally. And that's why I kind of brought that up to say, you architects that are listening to this, or engineers, to say, there is a huge, huge potential here. Go back to the show with Emu Systems. They are working on a whole system on building things better and thermal bridging and all those things that are so important, that is so hard to get right in the field when you have to micromanage those details to where someone, you know, you spend all this work on insulation and the building envelope and somebody comes in and rips a big hole in it to get their hose bib out there and no one's there to check it and now there's a big thermal bridge cavity in there. I'm not saying you don't have those same complications when it comes to these kinds of things, but it can be systemized a lot more to where all these technologies of SIPS panels that are insulated and how those cavities all work. It really comes down to coordination, as we're talking about on the Art of Construction, is get it right on paper early and often and bring the tribe together is really, I think, the key to what we're talking about here.
I think so, too, and I think it really does start with design. You know, I have a couple of architects that I work with closely, and they're really starting to transition over to this design format and this opportunity because a lot of the market on the high-end homes and the designs that they are doing is slowing a little bit. You know, it's hard to find land. It's just God's only making so much, you know. So we're getting more creative. We're starting to put the technology with the product. And it is. I mean, it's moving, and I think that efficiencies are everything now. We are just moving so fast as a system. Building is, it's always said that building is like still trying to catch up with generations. It's still kind of like the same nature of how building has always been. But now we're getting more technology driven. We're trying to work at a faster pace. We've got to do things 3 or 4 times quicker because there's a volume of homeowners that want to buy. So it's still a process. It's still things that are working out. I'm just really fascinated how quickly over the last 9 months and the people that I've met and manufacturer or builder or dealer, whatever you want to call them, their workload has tripled and quadrupled.
And the other part is I totally agree with what you're saying. It's moving so fast and you can get scary. It gets scary. There's mm-hmm. The only constant is change, and it's happening so fast with read a big Harvard review this morning on artificial intelligence, and whoa, wowza, what that the factory could do it better than we can do it now. So that whole world, but tribe, it says it happens so fast, but go back and listen to show 78 on biomimicry. I didn't know what that was either. And it's everything under the sun as we're running out of land, but there's a lot of things that have already been built that we have to figure out how to put it all together. As a lot of architects I read, and they're like, ever since I was a kid, the Lincoln Logs. Well, it was just a big pile of stuff that they built together, and it's different every time, right? That way. So it's how do you have it different every time, but have a system? And that's where modular can put that modular efficiency in those mods from not just the trucks and trailers coming together, but on a computer screen or a TV that you walk in and put virtual reality goggles on and walk through your modular. It's like there's an article that just came out. Nordstrom is putting their first store with no merchandise in it. Hmm. So just think about that, that if even a Nordstrom retail is thinking about all about the experience.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there visualizing artificial intelligence and experience. That's a very different design center than what you may see today where you have to build all this stuff. Even us as window and door suppliers in our design center. Well, the design center now could be you virtually walk through it, and then you go on to the plant, and it's now being built as you're clicking the buttons. As one contractor told me, I really just want you guys to be the Amazon of construction, where I just walk through and fill up my shopping cart from the land to the where it sits to the foundation. There's nothing like that out there. So us contractors have to try to pull all this stuff together. So it's really interesting when you hear modular, because honestly, before this, I was like, modular, man, that I have a jaded perception.
Right.
Of it. And if I'm honest about it, I do.
Most people do.
I started in there and I'm like, oh gosh, modular, cheap, crap,
right. Trailer
park.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, think about it another
definitely
way.
Definitely defined a whole different way. And, you know, it's funny, you know, you were talking Lincoln Logs. This is more like Legos. And the other thing is they are progressing with technology. If you go to Accolade Homes of Callahan, Brent Shawi, the owner of that location, actually has Matterhorn, which is a software system to actually be able to walk through your modular home virtually. And a lot of other companies, Madison Property, also carries the same technology. So it is really cool. I think that we are changing. It's evolving. And again, I'm always for the masses. I'm always for the underdogs, I guess you would say, you know, the people that are just like myself, striving and trying to find a place to live that's affordable, that's beautiful, that's new, and maybe be at a price point of, I don't know, $200,000 to $350,000, somewhere in there, that's a brand new home. Being able to have the opportunity is, I guess, something that I'm just trying to get across, that there is another option.
And you worked for a general contractor doing the whole traditional model.
I worked for several luxury home builders, and I've been through the gamut of, you know, $500,000, $1 million, $2 million, and building these homes and going through that process. And it's great. You know, you work so hard, and a lot of people, this is, you know, this is the single most biggest investment that they're going to make in their life. And so I've seen all of that, but I just couldn't find something that, you know, when I'm talking to my girlfriend that's 32 years old, and she's like, gosh, Audrey, you know, I've lived here for 5 years and finally got college paid off, and now how am I going to find a home? I can't find anything that's affordable. I'm living in this small little apartment paying all this money, and I just want to be able to have a little bit of land somewhere and be able to have a house. And totally. So it just works.
So tell us a few things from all these different manufacturers. It sounds like there's a ton of them out there that are kind of vying for, there isn't one that is the one, like Amazon. And I'm glad it's that way, and I hope they can all continue to rise and all do kind of find their niche and be successful. As we talk about on The Art of Construction, you can't be all things to all people. So the modular industry can be a lot of different segments of where that goes. Tell me a few things that to help all of them, if they're figuring out and buying what to do, things that you now, as the modular unicorn is out there, what are some things that you've seen that they've done amazing, and things that you're like, wow, that's going to be trouble?
The fascinating part about this industry is, one, each one of these dealers or builders, as you would call them, they all have respect for each other, and they are all working unitely together. There is an association called Rocky Mountain Home Association, and that is the association that blankets mobile and modular and prefab homes in our state. So the fascinating thing is each builder or modular manufacturer dealer all have specific niches that they fulfill. Some fulfill just the need of a price point and a product to be able to fill that marketplace. You are now having these really young people that are coming in, and they're starting more of the custom design. Lescott Homes, for example, custom design. Accolade Homes of Calhan, he is the leading dealership for Bonavilla. Bonavilla is one of the exclusive high-end modular types of design manufacturer builds. So it's interesting because each one of them have their own niche. As far as finding something that is the detriment to these builders, it's the same thing as any type of builder, production or luxury or custom land. They're all vying for, do you have your lot? Do you have your resources? Do you have your financial and lending in place? It's the same type of situation that you work with new builds.
So it really comes down to the land baron, if you will. And it's hard to be a land baron nowadays because the land's all bought and vying for that location, 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 mm-hmm. I guess. And then you got to get people to see it a different way versus back to, I think it was interesting for me listening to you guys talk about the question I would have asked, the same question is, how is it going to appraise? You get thinking, well, and we've had guests that a straw bale house, they have had challenges, like Regan with the shipping container house and straw bale housing, because there isn't a standard building code, and when the inspectors show up, they're not sure what to do. But I think these products, they're used to seeing the materials, and once they're linked together, however, it becomes this.
Well, they're both permitted. They're both permitted IRC. That's the code. So both stick build and modular, same code, yeah. Same building code. So they have the same principles as to building and being able to fulfill
right.
the permit.
And I'm trying the materials, meaning you're using traditional materials
right.
versus alternative materials of shipping containers or straw bales.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about how the loan process and the dissemination of money process works when you're doing a project like this, because typically in a construction project, you're going to have, set by the bank, you're going to have certain draws and things based on progress. So they will typically send out an inspector to see if you've got the sewer and the water and the utilities in. They'll see if you've got the foundation, and they'll look at those things, and then the money then disseminates based on an agreed-to schedule. So when a large portion of this is in a factory somewhere. How does that process work for the end user?
So it's very similar. It's actually, honestly, the same type of structure. So the consumer would get a construction loan and a permanent loan. Banks, typically what they'll do is they'll have two large sums of money that will be given out to the builder. So the builder will build the home, or the manufacturer, they'll put the home together. They will get a deposit of whatever that percentage is from the bank. And then once the home is placed on the lot, they get their last deposit. As far as Modular SureSite and our construction or general contract company, we have a small schedule because our work time frame is anywhere. It could be anywhere from 3 weeks up to 6 weeks. It just depends on the project load. And we have the same thing. We have inspectors come in. We need permits for mechanical, electrical, for heating. So we have those same type of integrations that you would with a stick build. It's honestly almost the exact same thing. It's just in a smaller amount of time.
So give us your hypothetical of where the modular industry is going to be in 5 years.
I think what you're going to start seeing, you're going to see a lot more communities being built. You're going to see a lot more efficiencies. There are several people that I've talked to, some in particular, that are in city planning. They are very interested in this product. You have Weld County, you have Adams County, you have areas like Broomfield that is getting, we're getting all these great businesses coming in, like Amazon and another IKEA. And what's happening is you have 1,500 and you have 700 people coming in, and a lot of them need affordable homes, right? They need affordable housing. So now they're starting to create these subsets of communities. They're already happening. There's one actually happening right now in Buena Vista. There's a huge company coming in from California. That's all they do is land development and site development for communities. You're going to see a ton more of this product, and they've been efficient in already doing it in the mountains. They're really being smart about it. They know that they can get these things done in a quick time frame, especially in the mountain. You know, you only have so many months to really build in the mountain time frame because of the snow and the weather. So you're going to see more and more of these communities popping up. And the great thing is, people won't even know that they're modular. They will have no idea. It will look exactly like a stick build. They'll be awesome. Amazed.
Well, I commend you for jumping in with this and telling the story. It really, I think, it's going to make a lot of people think, as the Art of Construction's goal is to help you grow your business. And either you're growing or dying. And you better be thinking about things that were at the past may have not worked real great for the custom side of things, but technology can change everything, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for coming in and telling us your story.
Thank you.
I may want to invest into a modular home.
It sounds pretty compelling, doesn't it? I mean, when you think about the efficiencies and the end result, once you get past that perception issue, which, quite frankly, I had the same thought when we were initially talking about this, and now as we're looking at it and you see... And I would encourage people to look at the show notes, go to some of these websites that we've got provided for you, take a look, and you'll be amazingly surprised, I believe, at the quality level and the options available at a cost that's going to make a lot more sense.
And it takes somebody like Audrey, who's just a superstar, to jump in with both feet and work with all the moving parts to pull it together, just like we've done with the Art of Construction, pulling the construction industry together to take some time to work on your business and just say, instead of I've always done it this way and just keep going through the motions, every time we go to turn the mic on, it makes me think, it's like, holy smokes, how fast the world's changing, but it's so fun as well.
And I think with Audrey's background with luxury builders, it gives her a unique perspective of knowing what people are looking for in the customer arena that can then take the modular concept of efficiency and cost savings and put the two together to get a great result. So
in review, let's talk about it one more time. Mobile is on a steel chassis that is your typical HUD product. Manufactured is done in pieces, and modular is that smaller box material that I cannot wait to see what the Art of Construction comes up with, designing those amazing boxes and putting in all that glass and making it all work together in the site conditions to change the Art of Construction, maybe.
And I think it's cool that she used the analogy that it's more like, instead of Lincoln Logs, it's more like Legos, you know, in terms of the pieces. And that, I mean, it sounds rudimentary, but on the one hand, once you kind of hear the whole explanation, it makes a lot of sense.
Awesome. Keep it up, Audrey. We're going to be cheering you on here at the AOC, and we're here to help, and hopefully the modular industry blows up and you're all talking about this together, from Express Modular to Great Western Homes to Accolade Homes of Callahan to Clayton Homes to Living Homes, Blue Homes, Madison Properties, Cascade Homes, on and on and on. Reach out to us, get on the message board, get involved. We're moving it and we're making changes here on the Art of Construction, baby, huh?